Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello and welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, your weekly pod to help you save and make more money. My name is Michelle Baltazar. I'm the editor-in-chief here at Money Magazine, and thank you for joining us. Today is a special episode, especially for those who are planning to start trading in 2024. Remember those resolutions that you promised and said early in the year? Number one, start investing. Well, here is a very special episode for you. So I'm joined today by an expert, someone who's been in financial services at least for more than 2 decades. So he knows what it was like in terms of trading and trading platforms a few decades ago and what it is today. Just a bit of background. His name is Craig Keary. He is currently the chief executive of SelfWealth, which is a very popular online trading platform here in Australia. They have more than 128,000 active Australian investors. They already manage $10 billion in funds. And I can't even get my head around this. They trade $59 million daily. So a bit about him as well. Before SelfWealth, he was the chief executive and principal consultant of Wise Partnering. He was previously managing director of the Asia Pac region at AMP Capital. So really well-versed about what it's like as well in Japan, where he worked for several years. And prior to that, Craig also held senior management roles at Westpac, Commonwealth Bank, and HSC Bank, where at HSBC, Craig helped develop their online trading platform. So no pressure, Craig, but it looks like this is your wheelhouse. Welcome to the show.
Michelle, thank you. Thank you for having me. And it's a wonderful industry to be involved in. And it's a real, I've seen a lot through my career, but it's one of the things that's amazing is being able to see how technology has continued to evolve and made access to investing and financial services even more accessible for everybody. And that's something that I'm really happy to have been a small have had a small part to play in, but it's just exciting to see that access now more available.
Now, I know that before we started chatting, I think we are going to give our listeners maybe the top 3 bugbears about online trading. So stick with us till the end of the episode and we'll do the big reveal then. But right now, we want to really get kind of under the bonnet of what a typical investor in SelfWealth looks like, so maybe people can relate, kind of paint a picture of what it is like. So, Craig, my first question to you is, what is a typical investment portfolio with SelfWealth?
Thank you. So if we just take a typical portfolio of, let's just call it around $80,000, that typical, and everybody's portfolio is going to be slightly different and will be adjusted depending on their individual circumstances. But a typical portfolio is more than likely to have a couple of high quality exchange traded funds in that portfolio. Those funds might be either focused on the Australian stock market or international stock markets. So it might have a global focus. Then also likely to be complemented by, you know, 3 or 4 high quality, you know, blue chip companies that are paying dividends that are likely to be fully franked, and that allows individuals to earn income in a tax effective way. So, what we've really seen over the last number of years is the use of exchange traded funds by those investors with a portfolio of around $80,000 playing a really central part in that portfolio design.
And what would be the typical age group or cohort that would have anywhere between, let's just say, between 40 and 80K in their account?
Look, typically that is going to be clients that are sort of call it 20, 28 to sort of 38, 28 to 40, everybody's going to be slightly different, and that's the wonderful thing about when you've got platforms that are accessible for everybody, it allows everybody to be invested. But typically that is going to be more so for a younger cohort that is starting to build their wealth outside of superannuation, while at the same time, you know, looking at paying down a mortgage or renting. So that's typically going to be a younger cohort.
Now, we've talked in the past about starting to trade shares or look at investing in shares, even if you have $500 or $1,000. Do you see that? Do people kind of just dip their toes in the water with that kind of amount?
We are, and that's one of the things that an exchange-traded fund has really allowed people to do, because an exchange-traded fund is a portfolio of a number of stocks. Depending on the index, it could be the top 200 stocks on the ASX, and an exchange-traded fund allows an individual to invest into that fund, into that index, and then own, have a very well-diversified portfolio for less than $1,000. And that's really something that, if I reflect on my career and time in sort of financial markets and stockbroking, the technology has really enabled that accessibility now for everybody.
Right. Now, imagine I'm in a party, everyone's, you know, a self-wealth account holder, and they're all talking about HIN. I don't know what it is. HIN. What is it, Craig?
It's fantastic. A holder. It's called the holder identification number, and it's a unique number that's issued by the Australian Securities Exchange when you become a client of an online broker. But it's more than a unique number. It means when Craig Keary or Michelle becomes a client of that broker, and they trade those shares, they buy shares in a security or an ETF, they go onto the share register and they own they're recorded as an owner in that investment. They then can get the annual reports, they get all of the company information. They can even turn up to the company's annual general meeting and hear the management and the board talk about the company and present on its future. So you're becoming not just invested, you know, it's not just a name on the register, but you're actually invested in that company and are a part owner. And that's something that's really pretty interesting to see happen.
Yes, I mean, it really means that you are investing in the future of the company rather than just kind of taking the stock per se.
Yes.
But indulge me, use HIN in a sentence. How would you, you know, talk about it?
The best way that I would talk about it is that a holder identification number, or HIN, means that you have direct ownership of the assets that you've bought through the broker. They're your assets. You own them. And you're free to trade those assets, and you're on the list.
So I would say, let's say I have shares in Commonwealth Bank.
Yes.
I've got Commonwealth Bank shares. Here's my HIN for my CBA shares. Is that how it works?
That's how it works.
All right. I feel embarrassed for those of our listeners who's like, Michelle, I've been trading. I know what a HIN is. But it can be a bit intimidating, isn't it?
It can be intimidating. And I think one of the things that I'm really passionate about is that technology has really broken down the barriers now for investment. And an individual shouldn't feel embarrassed about starting out, because we've all started out. And there's nothing wrong with that. And it's fine to not know and therefore seek advice or help about what to do. It's perfectly fine. And that's what typically a lot of people that I see across the financial services industry are really passionate about doing at the moment.
And I know that you've written a piece about, or you've mentioned, sustainable investing. And there's definitely a movement here where a cohort of investors want to be invested in how the companies approach the big issues like climate change or deforestation. So having a HIN, I think, is kind of a way to have a voice there as well.
Yes, yes, yes. I think there's nothing better than being an owner of a company. And if I was advising my younger self today and going along to the annual general meeting and hearing how the company is addressing all of the various issues and just listening and seeing what happens. That's a great way for somebody starting out to really get an appreciation for how companies work and how the money that you've invested in the company is being managed by the organization.
Now, before we get on to the top three bugbears or even misconceptions about trading, I want to talk about the frequency of people trading within your platform, because there seems to still be this idea of someone just kind of on their computer and trading the whole day, or it's a professional trader working 8 hours. Is that the case?
Look, we have all sorts of clients. We've got clients that are full-time traders that trade daily and frequently. Equally, we've got clients that trade infrequently and are just doing long-term investing. Everybody's different, and I think the power of technology is that it means that you can do the right amount of you can do the amount of trading that meets your needs and not be restricted.
And now I know everybody wants to talk about their wins or the right calls that they've made, but nobody wants to talk when they've made a bad call and there's like a profit warning and the share price has gone down. From your personal experience, have you suffered any kind of major loss or an investment call that you just kind of got wrong?
Look, from my personal experience, probably my biggest thing that I wasn't as disciplined about when I was younger was regular investing and regular saving. And if I look at the power of that regular saving and the compound effect and of staying invested in the market for the long term, you know, there's a lot of benefit with that. And if I was advising my younger self, I probably should have spent a little bit less and saved a little bit more and put that money to work in the stock market.
Right, right. So regular investing is the top tip. And I know I can totally relate. I wish my younger self did the same thing, but backpacking around Europe is not bad either.
Well, the other important thing is we've got to remember that money only is an enabler for our own well-being. So we shouldn't lose sight of our well-being as well, and we shouldn't lose sight of our experiences as well.
Correct. That's amen to that. Now, Craig, we've ran out of time, but really enjoyed talking to you. So we have time probably just for one bugbear.
Thank you, Michelle. Look, the biggest bugbear that I started in stockbroking in 1987 when it was 2.5% commission, it was only for the super wealthy. That is certainly not the case today. Technology has made access to investing and access to the stock market there for everybody if that's the desire that they wish to go down. And So the big misconception is it's only for the wealthy. That's certainly not the case.
Correct. So again, just to recap, a typical portfolio can be anywhere around 80,000, but you can start from 1K. Big tip, regular investing can really do wonders for you just over the course of your working life where you're already invested. And do not be scared when someone says HIN, because it's definitely good for you. Once again, thank you for chatting with us, Craig. Thanks for your time.
No, thank you so much, Michelle. It's great to be on the show.
Before we go, don't forget that if you enjoy listening to the Friends with Money podcast, we'd love for you to recommend it to your own friends and family, or you can help us out by leaving a review on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. You can also send in any questions, comments, or even topics you'd love for us to cover through our dedicated email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. You can find Craig Keery on LinkedIn as well if you just want to have a look at how he has tied Ikigai and Japan and financial well-being, and of course, all things share trading. Finally, make sure you head over to moneymag.com.au for all our financial news and stories. That's it for this episode. Thank you for listening. I'm Michelle Baltazar. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.